Let's see if it's counted right. Okay, let's go to Pisces. You already find it. You got it? It's two fish tied together by a band or a ribbon. The ribbon is around each one of their tails. It looks like it's connected to the monster, Cetus. And the lamb has its leg over one of the bands. The bands are themselves the first decan. The second is Andromeda right above it. And the third is Cepheus right above Andromeda, but you have to turn it around to see him.
What's his name?
Cepheus.
How do you spell it?
C-E-P-H-E-U-S.
Oh, okay, I see it. Yeah, I see it. Andromeda?
Andromeda is the second. The first decan is the band itself. The second one is Andromeda, right above it. And then the third is Cepheus, the king. Okay. For the next four nights, by the way, if you look in the northwestern sky early in the morning, about 75 degrees up, you'll see a comet. It should be visible by, I don't know if it, in the city if it'll be visible, but I can't remember the name of the comet.
Well, it's in Orion, I think.
Yeah.
So that'll be.
So if it's in Orion, that'll help make it easy to see.
It should, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not as bright as the stars of Orion, I don't think. So it depends on the light, ambient light.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just it'll make it easy to find the area. Like, it's visible or not, that's a whole other question.
Excuse me. What's the name of it? I can't remember.
I think it may be a meteor shower instead of a comet.
Well, I was told it was comet. I mean, I read it was comet.
Oh, did you hear anything about it?
It might be a meteor shower.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, the Pisces in ancient literature are called the mystic fishes. And the first thing you recognize is why are there two fish and why are they connected by a band? And boy, there's some different opinions about that. But the two fish primarily relate to the church and the idea that it was the church of the Old Testament, and that church was equal as everyone that saw his day, and then the Church of the New Testament. The first member of the Church of the Old Testament was Abel. And let's look at a couple of those just to get it straight in your head. So let's go to John 8. Verse 51 of John 8, it starts this whole, verse 31 starts it, if you're interested to read it. It's when Jesus is talking to his people that believed on him, which is interesting. And you can go through, that's when he said you were of your father the devil and all that up earlier. But start in verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. And these are guys that believed on him a few seconds ago. Now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep your saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? What, whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself. Etc. So obviously, Abraham saw his day. Throughout the Old Testament, it's that day. And we studied it in morning Bible study. It talks about when Isaiah saw it. And Ezekiel saw his day. And Daniel saw his day. Thousands and thousands of people who saw the mystery of the sacrifices and knew that they were parables saw his day and were glad. And in seeing his day, then they are the church of the Old Testament, because they are still Christians. I mean, what we would call Christians. Everybody understand that? Amen? And then it's interesting, one of the fish, if you notice on it, he's pointed straight up towards the North Pole. And one of the fish is pointed towards the ecliptic, or the path of the sun. Now, what does that mean? And there's again mass confusion about that. Maybe even in the Christian writers that used to write about this hundreds of years ago. I think that the one that's going north indicates that they are already in eternity, and that's the church of the Old Testament, and the one that's following the path of the sun now is the church that was birthed at Pentecost. So anyway, those are the two, the reason in my mind anyway, for the bands. If you're welcome to believe or check it out, anything else, but okay? Now, what about these silly fishes? And why did they call them the mystic fishes? Remember, Jesus' first miracle was changing the water into wine on the day of, on the Feast of Tabernacles. He did that. And that first miracle defined his entire purpose. Change the water of the human race into the wine of the bride. Well, he said something else. One of the first things he said was about fish. And that, to me, that, well, anyway, let's go there. Mark 1. It's the first thing he said when he got out of the temptation, when he finished the temptation in the wilderness. Well, Mark has just this brief statement about the baptism in verse 9 of Mark 1. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, or driveth. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled. But in Greek, it doesn't have the article. Jesus said, time is fulfilled. The purpose of time is done, which is kind of eerie. And the kingdom of God is at hand, and that doesn't say, I don't know why they said that. It's clear in the Greek, it's the kingdom of God is here. Time has fulfilled its purpose, the kingdom of God is here. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew and his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus saith to them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further, thence he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants who went after him. Now, this is the first thing he said after this temptation in the wilderness about becoming fishers of men. And it's the same kind of impact that we've studied in what we've studied about fish thus far, that in this context, in this metaphor, that's the sea is a, in this case it was I forgot the name of the inland sea there. The Sea of Galilee. That was the metaphor for the whole world. And he's going to make us fishers of men, and we're going to come out of an environment, and if we don't get the direct life, the living waters from him, we will die, or else we'll pretend we're doing it, and we're going back in the ocean with the other fish. Do you understand what I'm saying?
It has to live by faith, and it has to be continual receiving.
There could be nothing grace. Else. But the point of it is that the net is cast. And that's those inside that. Well, let's read the rest of those. There's a couple others I want to read there, and we'll talk about it. Let's go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So it shall be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So that's one aspect. Now, what does that mean? It means that what God is doing he's casting his net into the sea of humanity. And in that net is the church. But in that net, there's still good and bad. There's still people that are just acting like they're in the net. And so out of that net, which are the fish, which are the church, it is all, that's why he said, the first thing he said was, I'll make you fishers of men. Because this is all about the church. We're called Ichthus, which is the fish. Okay? Now let's look at another one. Let's look at Luke 5. came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and brake their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus saith unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now again, this thing about it's never been more clear to me than, and I don't know if I'm making it clear, I'm not feeling too well, but that it's not our business who's in the net. In other words, this we say often, but it's not our business who's saved or who isn't saved or who's redeemed or who's not redeemed. But when you are caught in a net, Paul talks about that as the bounds of your habitation. And just think about our lives individually. What it took for us to get caught in the net. And it's, to me, it's huge. I mean, it makes sense of my life that I finally reached a point which had been ordained from before the foundation of the world, that I would come into a place where I would see God and see the mystery of God. That doesn't mean I'm part of the elect or all that crap. It means the elect, or just God knows the elect because he saw the end of the movie. But it's never our business to say we're the elect.
But I second what you're saying. I mean, my life just funneled into that moment and out the other side. It's all engineered.
And just stop, with this stupid little group of people we have. There's what, 60 of us or something like that. Everybody and their cousins come. I mean, it's just from every form of thought and idolatry. And how did this happen? Nothing that we are doing here was ever in my mind to do. I mean, it's beyond anything I could ever think about. Not that it's any good or not. I'm just saying it's nothing I would have ever thought of. How did it come for me to be a preacher or teacher of the Bible? That's just ridiculous. Our friend Nick always says, God really had to have a sense of humor to use you.
I don't see any certificates on the walls anywhere.
No, I don't have. I'm not too good at certificates.
Nary a one.
But anyway, I want you to see, and I'm not explaining it well, forgive me, but just see the whole human race and all of time as the sea. And the fishermen have cast the net. And we're not even the fishermen. I mean, we are in a way, but the net is cast through all of time and space, or that big ocean of time and space, and we get pulled into the net along with millions of others. Billions of others, probably, I don't know. But for some reason, this idea of Pisces and the net and the fishes, and the fishes of the church, it's comforting to know that, for some reason, I don't know, I'm probably weird, but it's comforting to me to know that there's other idiots in the net with me. I mean, I guess that's what I'm...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because mm-hmm. It's not the most... Who, like you said, who would have thought of it? I mean, it's absurd, really.
You know, I've talked about this morning, Bible study, but I knew that from that my first conversion experience, right then, boom, I knew that the human race was the Antichrist. But I couldn't tell anybody. I mean, that's just stupid. It took me at least four or five years before I talked about it.
Probably, yeah, but I remember by 78 you were talking about it, but that still was a bunch of years.
That's 6 years.
Yeah.
You know, and then I started talking about it, and it amazed me. People heard. Yeah, I agree. I'm the Antichrist. What? And then when Mr. Bojo agreed he was the Antichrist, that was impossible. See, he does it incessantly around me, just shakes his head like that.
That knowing smile.
Yeah.
The great love secret, though, within the net, some people are able to enter into the kingdom here and now, and others don't. And that,
yeah. Yeah, and it's just we got to keep in mind that the whole business is none of our business.
Yeah,
yeah.
Judge who's who. But,
yeah. And that also is comforting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If I had to know who was saved and who wasn't and all that other crap, I wouldn't want to know that.
That's true.
Let me just put a coda on this. Let's do one more. Let's go to John 21. So the first thing he talked about was the fish thingy, and now the last thing, just before, I mean, after his resurrection, when he was with them, he talked about the fish. Chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. This was the third time. I mean, after his resurrection, the third time that he showed himself. And there were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of disciples. And Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, we go also with thee. Now, this didn't mean like you and I would go fishing. What this says is these men who were fishermen before they met Christ are saying they're going to return to their old occupations even after he revealed himself twice. And he took with him then, there were seven of the disciples that from God's standpoint, from Jesus' standpoint, seven of the majority of his disciples were going to leave and go back to their old way of life. That's what that says if you study the words. We go also with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night, they caught nothing again. Just like at the start, they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes, same as it happened before, right at the beginning. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loves, and that's John, he's saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, excuse me, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net of fish, the net with fishes. And as soon as they came to land, they saw a fire of coals, etc. But again, at the beginning, he said, this is what you're going to do. At the end, he showed it to them again. Now, when we get into this further, we're going to see throughout the Old Testament how, when it talks about multitudes, the word is used, it almost always means fishes. And so, this thing about the sea, or the Jets, whatever that other sea was, and the Sea of Galilee, I think they're the same sea. For that, in their world, that was the entire world. And for that mindset, that sea was a perfect parable for the entire world, and the whole idea of being a fisher, and the purpose of the disciples and the purpose of Christ is revealed in all these fisher stories, and it's revealed, that's where we're going to see even more revealed when we study this. Okay?
What are you seeing in the fact that they went back to their old occupation?
They were leaving.
They were
gone. Bye-bye, Jesus. We're going back. We'll believe on you.
That was interesting. Now, where'd you go?
We go a fishing. That didn't mean they're just going to go out for the. That means they were changing their. They were going back to their old profession.
And do you see that as a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I can't believe Peter just. After all he saw.
Well, all of them. Mm. It'd be like me saying, well, I'm going to go back and run for a Congress. I mean, that'd be ridiculous. Mr. Baljo's going to go and be an investment banker again.
What struck me in this story was that it's like this: the first time where they caught all these fish, and then the last time they saw Jesus, they caught all these fish. So that really emphasizes this whole thing about the fish.
Yeah.
Is just really hitting home.
Well, that's why I said it's just as with the. Water into wine, this thing with the fish is the first thing Jesus said, not the last thing. Anyway, do we mind? Can we stop here?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not doing too well.
No, that's plenty to think about.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask a question now. Horoscopes and astrology, that's idolatry. Do you have any thought about people being influenced by the sign that they were born under? Is
no,
anything
it's meaningless.
Totally meaningless? Why was it important when you told us before about Christ being born at the dawning of the age of Aquarius and things like that?
Well, it was only because that was the Abraham was at the dawning of the age of Taurus, Aries from Taurus, and Jesus was born at the dawning of that. Now it's the dawning of the age of Pisces. Those are kind of big deals. It has nothing to do with individuals being born, but those births of Abraham and Jesus altered history, obviously. And now, I think history is altered at the dawning, will be altered at the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Remember the meaning, the purpose of the zodiac from the beginning of time was to show forth the purpose, to reveal this mystery of Christ. And what they started doing very quickly in Babylon and in Persia, the king made it what his lot was. No, first it was the land. First it was what's the future for Persia? What's the future for Babylon? And they cast the stars about that. And then the king, then it denigrated to go to the king. And it was the king's fate. And then it denigrated with what it is today, what you can eat for breakfast or something when you read the morning horoscope. So the astrology is the perversion of the zodiac. All the way, I mean, but the perversion started when they first made it a part of what the land was. And then, and it's that perversion still exists in Israel because it's all about Israel, I think. And that was just the type. Amen?
Yeah.
Any other questions? Does that answer you?
Yeah. That's my dad.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Take it, big guy.
Hey, Dad.
Push the button.
Good.